Amen. Thank you, guys. All right, man, it is good to be together. You guys can hear me okay?
Yes.
So I guess I don't have to yell and scream. All right. So, man, again, welcome everybody to the Atlanta Church of Christ, our midweek service. And it's always good when the body meets together, you know. So we're getting ready to roll into a new series. And we're going to start that, kick that off tonight. So we want to talk about just the power of humility tonight. And so with that, so it's going to be a lot of interaction. So I'm going to need you guys' help. You guys okay with that? I heard people over there. Are you guys okay with that over here? Okay, I just want to make sure, because it's more of y'all than it is of me. So if y'all not okay, I got to make sure. Right? So, and before we get started, I don't think she's here tonight, but guys, keep dear sister Karen McKirk in your prayers. She lost her mom. The funeral is going to be Saturday in South Carolina, but please, please, please be praying for her, because as you can tell, she is dearly missed when she's not here in service. And so we just want her to know how much we love her and appreciate her, and go and support her if we can. Amen? Cool. Well, first, guys, if you guys would be, turn your Bibles over to 1 Peter 5. That is where we're going to start our conversation. But before we do that, I just have a couple of questions. You know, this past year, we've been, our theme was remain in the vine, correct? And I want you guys to stop and think for a second. What are some things that you personally wanted to grow in this year? Anything at all, what are some things that you personally wanted to see some growth in your life this year? D. Okay. So D said she wanted to learn to trust more, wanted to learn to trust people more, not thinking, not feel insecure that whatever she shares with people, they would run and tell other people. So that's a great thing to grow in. Joe. Okay, so Joe said he wanted to be more fearless in his approach in evangelism. Stand up for a second, Joe. Maybe it's just me, but nothing about you look like you would be fearless. But I'm a little scared. But amen, we need to be praying about that. Okay, who else? Okay, so Georgina said putting her hope and her trust in God and not people, not other things. Dina? Being positive and being a solution-oriented person. To be able to persevere, to be able to push through. All right, one more, and then we got to move on. Dearies and John Claude, which one is the tallest? It's probably about a tie. All right, Dearies, you win out. I'm sorry, John. I'm sorry, John Claude. Dearies. Right, there you go. No, go ahead. I'm going to let him go as well. Go ahead, Dearies. Intimacy with God. Okay. John Clark? Relationship with God. Amen. Now, in all these things, guys, these are great answers. These are great things to grow in. And all these things we should be growing in. What we're going to talk about tonight is that power of humility. Because here's the deal. That's one of the few things that many of us can easily overlook, is growing in our humility, right? Because humility is not a one-time thing, right? It's not like I was humble today, so I've got it on straight. Like, humility is something that you really, really have to work at. And I'll tell you, this, even studying out humility is challenging, because it shows so much of your lack of humility, right? And at first, this is how much there's a lack of humility. You know, when Steve talked about, hey, you know, let's go into this series and do this. The first thing I thought is, well, Steve must have sat back and said, let me find the most humble person in the church and let him teach that. Hey, come here, Tony. Y'all laughing like y'all don't believe that. Or y'all don't want to get struck down either, huh? No, I think God doesn't say, hey, let me get somebody who needs a whole lot of help with humility so that, you know what, man, my power can be shown. And I'll be the first to admit that, wow, I've learned so much just studying out humility. Now let's talk about, what does that look like, though? What does humility look like? I want to hear from you guys. What do you think humility looks like in a church? Robert. Okay, so Robert said not be self-seeking, to consider others better than yourself. Georgina? Asking for help. Okay. Jean-Claude? A church that's closer. Okay, Carol?
I see people who are eager to grow and to become more like Jesus.
Eager to grow and become more like Jesus. Shannon? Looking for somebody that's different from you outside of your normal circle that you can go to and get help, right? Great answers. Turn over to 1 Peter 5, if you haven't turned there yet. 1 Peter 5, and we're going to start in verse 5. It says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Here's the truth about humility. We will never grow spiritually if, and this is very important, if we don't humble ourselves first before God and secondly before men. And a lot of times, humbling ourselves before God, that can sometimes be a little easy because we feel like, oh, God has me in this situation, so it's bad, it's tight. It's easy for me to humble myself. But then as we go to our brothers and sisters, it can become a little bit more challenging to humble ourselves. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is just that power to enable us to humble ourselves before God as well as men. You know, here in 1 Peter, Peter tells us, and we're going to look at Peter's version of humility, Paul's version of humility, and God's version of humility. And so Peter tells us to humble ourselves. Now, why do you guys think it's so important for us to humble ourselves opposed to God having to humble us? Why is it so important for us to make that decision? It can be much more painful. Okay. Dan? Right. So Dan said, yeah, the more God tries to get us to do something, the more we can resist. Okay, Joe? Right. Not because God doesn't want us to feel like we are forced to have to do it, but because we love him. John, and then Shannon. Right. So did you guys hear that? So that's admitting we have flaws, that we have room to grow. Sharon? Mm.
Good point. Becky? Right. Good point. I'm sorry. Is that Maya over there? Maya? Good point. We can block that blessing that God has in store for us down the road. Okay, Dears, we're going to come back to that. That's a really good point. Right. So, and a lot of times, guys, we're put in situations so that God can grow us, so that God's power can be shown. Because remember, this is not a one-time thing. This is a ongoing process. Our humility to God should be ongoing until we die. Our humility towards each other should be ongoing until we die. Look at what it says here. And every time I've read this, you know, you always think about, you know, this is, they're dealing, the context is dealing with elders, but the basis here can be used for many other things, right? So he says, just like he says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. But then he goes and says something very profound. He says, all of you. So he's not leaving out anybody. He says, clothe yourself with humility, which means before you do anything, this is what you need to have on. Before I leave my house, I make sure I get dressed, I put on my clothes. The Bible is very clear about why it's so important to have on humility. It's like running out your house with only your pants on. You have no shirt on, or you have no shoes on. We're not complete. And so God is trying to help us here to see how important this is, because look what he says. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. So why is it so important for us to show humility to God? Because first of all, the Bible is clear. It does say that he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, I don't know about you, but I need tons of grace. I need tons of it. Every day, right? And so God reminds me, hey, wait a minute, Tony, you know, we all mess up, but I'm here to give you that grace. I think about two things when it comes to humility. I think one, somebody, whether you or me, is going to have to submit to God first. Right? Because I can't submit to you until I submit to God. And then somebody is going to have to be lesser so someone else can be more. Now, that's hard to do sometimes even with God. It's hard to be lesser and God be greater because, hey, we've done some things in our life. Maybe we've baptized a couple of people. Maybe we've learned a whole book in the Bible. Maybe we've done some great things. And we can sort of take pride in those things and not submit that to God. And so God becomes less and we can become more. Maybe we have titles or positions, whether it's at the church, at your job, at school, and we can take comfort in positions. We can take comfort in titles, and we can also take pride in those things, and we don't submit them to God out of humility. And God is saying that's not the way to handle it. But the thing I want to really focus on here is he says, all of you. No matter how humble you've been in the past, the Bible tells us to continue to be humble with each other. It's not about who you're around. It's about who you are. And see, I remember as a young Christian, it was easy, you know, to be humble, like the scripture said here, to my elders, to those that were older than me. It was easy to submit to them because I felt like, hey, they know a little bit more than me. So I could submit with no problem. I could show them humility. If they asked me to do something, it was easy to do it. But man, what about this brother or sister who may have gotten baptized right around the same time I did? Or the brother or sister who got baptized after you? Is it still as easy to be humble with them as they're correcting you or as they're encouraging you as it is to be submissive with or humble with others? Because as a church, this is an area that we really have to grow in order to see God's true power of humility. We can't just be humble with people of high positions. We can't just be humble with people who have 20, 30 plus years in God's kingdom. Because the truth of the matter is, whether you've been in God's kingdom 30, 40 years or 30, 40 minutes, you have the same Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit, right? And God is saying, you know what? This is why we grow in our humility. Because without growing in that humility, it would be so easy to look down on certain people and put others on pedestals. And you're talking about devastating a church or devastating relationships. That is one of the quickest ways to do it. Turn over with me to Philippians chapter 2. And in Philippians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 3. Because I really believe that in order for us to grasp humility, it has to start with our own view of God. Right? How we view God essentially will be the level or the extent of humility we show him and others. So if our view of God is warped, or if our view of God is that it's small, that's going to be the level or the extent of our humility. Right? And in Philippians, starting in chapter 2, starting in verse 3, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here, the Bible gives us a clear description of Jesus. So picture this. Jesus, here it is, he's equal to God. The Bible was clear. The Bible says Jesus, who being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Instead, he chose to humble himself. So here it is, you have somebody who could be exalted, but rather chooses to humble himself to help others. Now, let's talk about that for a second. In our walk with God, what are some things that keeps us as Christians, whether you've been a Christian for a day or 50 years, what are some things that keeps us from humbling ourselves with our brothers and sisters? Shakira? Mm-hmm. Okay. Sometimes we don't see our worth from God's perspective. Okay. Who else?
Dan?
Success. Success keeps us from being humble with our brothers and sisters. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Our hearts, a lot of time, guys, it can keep us from being humble with our brothers and sisters. Very good. When it's hard to receive, in other words, it's hard to receive correction from somebody who won't take correction. Okay. Sharon and then Steve. Right. Sometimes it's just that relatability factor. Like, hey, they've never done or been through what I've been through, so I'm just not going to be humble with this person. Steve. Hey, bottom line, I know what I believe and it's right, so there's no, that's in the conversation. Right? Right there and then right here. Tim and then Steve. I don't want to look bad. I don't want to look wrong. Hey, that's a big one, right? Okay, Steve.
Sometimes you're caught in keeping a repertoire, so you start worshiping that instead of God.
Yep. Grub, and then right here. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Matter of getting out of our comfort zone. Good one. Right here, and then Tina. I'm right and they're wrong. Okay. And that's a big one. Tina. Wow. A lack of trust, guys. And there's a, that's a broad, I mean, that can open up so many doors when you start dealing with a lack of trust. Right? Okay, right here. Right. Sometimes we just beat up on ourselves and we don't allow ourselves to be humble. Last one. Prejudices. Right. And, well, expand a little bit when you say prejudice. Gotcha. Yep. Yep. Right. So there are several that can play a part with that, you know, maybe your upbringing, maybe your social, maybe your political, you know, your racial. So there are several different prejudices that can hinder us from being humble with each other. But look what the Bible says here in verse 5 and in verse 6 of Philippians. It says, actually, let's start in verse 6. It says, who being in very nature God did not consider equality, I'm sorry, who being the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. That is powerful. That is the power of humility, is taking something that you've been giving and making yourself nothing. It's hard to walk around and say, I'm nothing. Now, we look at that from an unspiritual, with unspiritual eyes. When we say, when Jesus said he became nothing, it's different from our becoming nothing, right? Because if I come up to Jeff and I say, oh, Jeff, I'm nothing, but you're the best thing since sliced bread. Now what I've just said to everybody else is, don't go to Tony then, let's go to Jeff. Jeff is going to have all the answers and fix it. And so we don't want that. We want to be seen as somebody. The world tells us to be somebody, right? Every day at school, at work, we do these things so that we can advance up. What does everybody here in the corporate world? You want to advance up that corporate ladder, right? Everybody wants to advance upward. And so here, man, we get a new teaching where instead of getting all that, Jesus is saying, no, you know what? I'm going to take the very nature of a servant and I'm going to become nothing, right? Even though I'm already everything. That's the power of humility. Now, what would our church look like if everybody in the church just says, you know what? I'm going to take the very nature of a servant and I'm going to become less so Darius can become more. I'm going to become less so Ben can become more. I'm going to become less so Phil can become more. I don't know. I think Phil's a Tennessee fan. If he is, I don't know. I might not become less for him. But I'm going to become less so somebody else can become more. Right? Where we have the very different mindset. I need to become more so I can get more. I need to become more so people can know who I am. I need to become more so I can feel great about this. And guys, here's a gauge just for our church. You guys know the last two rotations we were trying to find people for our children's ministry. Here's a great opportunity to become less so those kids can become more. Great opportunity. We tried to get ushers. Here's a great opportunity for us to become less so our visitors, our friends can become more. So some of you in here can become more. But again, the world tells us, no, you need to get in there so you can get a seat. Don't you miss out. Let somebody else have to miss out. And Jesus says he took the very nature of a servant. And that servant, he was talking about serving us. And so it becomes so much more powerful when we realize we have a living example already on humility. Like, we don't have to go and reinvent the wheel. It's already right there. And then he takes it a step further. He says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That humility has a twofold, right? That second part is obedience. Because, see, it's one thing to, hey, I'm going to listen. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to hear you, God. But it's another thing to obey it, right? Because it's easy to read our Bibles every day, but it takes humility to obey it. And why does it take humility to obey it? Because most of the stuff in this Bible goes against 99.9% of the things I don't want to do. You think I want to wake up every day and deny myself? Nope. You think I want to wake up every day and be loving to people who aren't loving to me? Nope. I mean, the list goes on and on. But out of humility for God, I obey. And by obeying, man, others get a chance to be lifted up. You think about your closest relationships. Man, how hard it is just to be humble in those circumstances. We have any married people in here? Now, I want to talk to the husbands first. Right, so, husbands, right? Anybody here been married over 5 years? If you've been married over 5 years, raise your hands. Right, so over 5 years, that's a good-looking group. Y'all are a good-looking group, too. Ladies, they are a good-looking group, right? Those some good-looking guys. 5 years. Hey, Jason over here, he got both hands up like, yep. And so, and that's a great thing. You know, so, brothers, we've been married. For those of us that's been married over 5 years, does the power of humility still reign in your household? Because here's the thing, and it's hard, and I'm just telling you guys from experience, you know, we're getting ready to celebrate 17 years on the 14th, and hey, you can applaud now. After I share, you guys are going to be like, she stayed with her for 17 years? Oh, man. But I say that because as each year passes, it becomes harder and harder to be humble with my wife, right? Because this is the one person I'm with all the time. This is the one person who knows me better than probably I know myself. So as she's telling me the things I need to do but that I don't want to hear, it is so hard to swallow that humility pill and say, you're right. It is so easy to justify why I'm doing what I'm doing. Well, I didn't wash the dishes last night because I knew the water would still be hot in the morning, so what was going to be the difference? Right? We can come up with some crazy excuses why. But does that humility that Jesus is talking about, is that humility present in your household? Are you still humble with your wives? Or do we still have that mentality that, hey, the Bible says I'm the head of this household. And as the head of the household, and we may not say it in those words or in that manner, but sometimes it's in our mind and it's in our heart. And the Bible says eventually the overflow of the heart, the mouth is going to speak, right? So maybe I don't speak it to you. I might speak it to somebody else, but it's going to come out of my mouth. But man, how are we doing at home, husbands, in our humility? You know, man, are we humble with our wives to the point of taking the correction that they're trying to give us? Are we humble with them in the raising of our kids, our finances? And those are the sore spots, especially the finances, you know. And so how are we? And I'll be honest, guys, horrible at times. Just being honest, especially, you know, with the finance. My wife handles the finances. The hardest thing for me to do was to relinquish our finances and say, hey, you do this better than me. Please take it over. That was hard because now I felt like, man, I'm being chumped. I got to go and ask her for money when I want to go somewhere. And then I look in her wallet and she always has dollars and stuff in hers. I'm like, how does that happen? Well, that happened because she's way more disciplined than I am. We can get the same $20 and mine is gone in a day and hers is still there in 2 weeks. And it's like, okay, let me have some of your 20. But are we humble enough to admit where we have weaknesses? Are we humble enough to admit I need to be the servant here? Or are we setting the rules and dictating how things are going to go? And then for the wives, how many, well, it should be the same amount of hands go up. For you wives that have been married for over 5 years. And I say 5 years, hey, Becky is a happily married one. Hey, Becky like, yep, where's Ray at? But, you know, for you wives, I just want to talk to you for a second. You know, humility. Now, you guys are being asked to be led spiritually, sometimes physically and emotionally, and sometimes it can be hard to be humble with someone. And someone said it earlier, I think it was Ben, it's hard to be humble with someone who maybe isn't humble with you or maybe isn't listening to you the way you want to. Do you take that same mentality and become less so that he can become more? Or do you ball up your fist and get ready for round one? Right? Because you're not going to tell me how to spend this money when you messing up the money. That ain't going to happen. Are you humble enough to get help for your husband? Are you humble enough to keep your marriage the way God intended it to be? Or do you feel, I'll fix this. I know how to handle this. And it's so easy sometimes to fall into those traps, right? And even for the singles. As a single, it is so easy. How many singles do we have in here tonight? How many singles is in here? Don't get quiet now, as if it wasn't coming to y'all next. But as singles, and even campus as well, all you guys, think about my level of humility. Do I serve? Am I one of the ones who get here early and leave late? Or am I one of the ones who get here late and leave early? Right? I mean, it shows in what we do. You know, think about, man, if we have an event, am I one of the ones who get there to help make sure things are set up early and leave late, or am I one of the ones who are going to get there and just enjoy because it's about me? They should be glad I showed up. Because the party don't start till I get there. Right? Humility. How is it shown in your life? Is it shown in your life? How, as a church, can we imitate Jesus? From this scripture, this is a question I want you guys to think about. What are some things that we can do as a church to imitate Jesus' humility? Not just the things that we see, not just meeting the need, but how can we imitate his humility? Because that's what he's calling us all to. If we really want to see the power of humility in this church, we have to start by imitating Jesus' example. You know, and you can believe this if you want to, but you are so much more happier when you're serving. I promise you. Start serving. Start giving. You will find yourself so much more happier than when you just come in, take a seat, and ready to be given to. Humility is being willing to die to your sins because of your obedience. When we become ready to die to these sins, whether it's selfishness, laziness, bitterness, anger, whatever, when we become willing to die to these sins because of God's obedience, because of obedience to God, you can start seeing the humility in your life start to grow. Verse 3, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. And I love this verse here. This used to scare me. But it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but to the interests of others. All of our lives, if you ever played any type of Pop Warner sports or a little cheerleading or whatever, you were taught to be the best, right? If you were the running back, be the best running back on the field. If you were the cheerleader, do the best split there is to do, right? If you are coach or whatever, be the best coach you can be. We were taught as little kids to be the best that we can be. And now this scripture comes along. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. That's hard because all my life I've been taught to be selfishly ambitious. And now the scripture is telling me to not do that. That's like saying, Tony, I've been writing with my right hand all my life. You telling me I can't do that no more. I got to start writing with my left hand. And I'm like, I don't know if I can do that. It's going to look messy. It's going to be slow. It's going to be crazy. But God says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. And here's the deal. Ambition is not a bad thing. Ambition is good. It's just when it becomes selfish ambition. You know, selfish ambition is really, we've convinced ourselves that we are lower than others, but we want to be better than them. So in other words, we're saying, man, you know what? I'm not as good as John, but I'm going to be better than him. Opposed to saying, wow, John is a great example. I want to learn from him. You know, we see brothers and sisters doing things. I wish I could sing, right? We compare everything. I really wish I could sing. I know which lane to stay in when it comes to singing, right? That's on that off ramp. I'm not trying to get nowhere close to a microphone to sing. But we have some great singers. Now, I don't feel like I need to go around and say, man, yeah, Peter and Tommy and Malachi, those guys, yeah, they good, but I'm going to be better. Give me a couple of months. I guarantee you I'm going to be better than those guys. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they do okay. They all right. I done heard better. Wait till y'all hear me. This is that selfish ambition. But then he goes a step further. He says, and vain conceit, where we think we are already above others, and we think others can't teach us anything. That is vain conceit. I know I'm already above you. Hey, why are you sitting there? That should be my seat. Hey, why are you over there talking to the leaders? I should be doing that. Hey, why are they asking you to do this? They should be asking me. Oh, maybe they just didn't know I was at church today. But as soon as they find out, oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm waiting on that call. And our vain conceit, guys, it hinders God from doing what he intended to do here in the church. When we have that vain conceit, we can't serve, we can't give, we can't do any of that stuff because it's about us. And there is no humility towards God or to our brothers or sisters. You know, Paul talked about it, and you don't have to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talks about how he was the least of all apostles. Now, I don't ever remember reading in the Bible where the apostles were ranked. So for him to feel like he was the least says a lot about him. Now, we don't rank members in the church. And I don't want you to put your hand up, but if I was to ask you to put your hand up, how many of you could honestly say, I feel like I am the least among all the brothers and sisters in this church? Not many hands will go up. Because we feel like, yeah, we are important. We are, or we need to feel needed here. Then in Ephesians 3:8, he goes on to say, and this is about 6 years later, he goes on to say, I am the least of all the saints. Now, first it was just the apostles. Then after 6 years, he's still feeling like, wow, as he's traveled, now I'm the least of all the saints. And I'm just like, wow, what would make someone feel like I am the least of all the saints? Even though he's doing great things, he understood what Jesus was talking about. And lastly, in 1 Timothy 1, which was a year after he made that comment, he says, of all the sinners, I am the worst. Now, this is somebody who's exhibiting humility. And this is not false humility. Paul really felt like this. Now, I don't know about you, but there's not too many times where I felt like I'm the worst of sinners. Because it's so easy for me to compare my sin to somebody else's. And this is an area we have to grow in. Imagine if Jesus would have done that. If Jesus would have compared his sin to your sin, we'd be reading a different Bible. But he didn't. What did he do? Instead, it said he made himself nothing. He became a servant and showed humility. And church, for us, my prayer is that we can imitate that, because there's power when we all decide to imitate Jesus' humility, to imitate, to stop comparing each other, to stop worrying about what position I hold in the church, whether I'm an usher or a preacher. Doesn't matter. when we start exhibiting humility, true humility that Jesus is talking about here, you watch the power that this church has. You watch the power that you as an individual have, and you watch what God start doing amongst the body of believers. Because I really believe that there is power in humility. All we have to do is tap into it. Amen. Thank you, guys. And you are dismissed.